And he's in Indonesia, you know, so it's the other side of the world and 14, 16 hour time difference. And it's humbling that brother or sister would that great distance would send you a little note saying, hey, we're thinking about you and we're with you halfway around the world. Brother Ron says, just fight fire with fire. Amen. How many want the fire to fall? Hallelujah. So we just want God to have his way to continue to have his way in the rest of these meetings. And remember, these are your services. You know, we're not trying to have a corner on this. We're just trying to have a venue where we can get together. And we have so much in common. Amen. And we've got a great future. Amen. Praise the Lord. So tonight we have our brother Mike Price coming to minister the word from Hardy, Arkansas, and he's a real buddy. He's a real minister of the gospel, and we're thankful for him. We're thankful for the gift that's in his life and his ability to surrender and let God have his way. But you know, he's also a personal friend of mine, and we've been blessed to travel together a little bit and minister in different parts of the world together. So in 1994. Brother Mike went to Burma, which is known as Myanmar, and did some of the early pioneer work. And we went the next year in 1995, and I'd never met Brother Mike, but I heard about him for a number of years. And it's kind of strange how, you know, it takes a number of years sometimes for you to meet, right? I won't have you standing too much longer. I won't tell you how long, But, you know, sometimes you wonder, well, why didn't we meet sooner, right? Maybe we just weren't ready for one another, you know. But we trust that God is completely in control and his timing is perfect. And so it's just a real honor to stand side by side with our brother and to work alongside him in South Korea and in Myanmar this last year. And so I'm sure that you'll be blessed here tonight. Now, how many enjoyed the service last night? Amen. Oh my. That was just what the doctor ordered. I'm still feasting on the nuggets and gems that we were fed last night, and I trust that you are as well. But I'm hungry again tonight. I'm thirsty tonight, and I know God has something special for us. So I'm going to let you sit for just a second. And then I'm going to ask if you're a minister, if you would stand. Is that okay? Oh, come on, there's more than that. I know better. Let's give these brothers a hand. Bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to read a statement here real quick before we turn the service over. Just something that was on my heart today from the message, Victory Day. Brother Branham says, God has counted you worthy when you have a test. Now, don't fail to get this. You know, whenever he says that, I grab a hold, man, I don't want to miss it. When you have a trial or a test, it shows the grace of God has found you. You've found favor with God. And God believes that you'll stand the test. Let's take it a step further. He knows you will. Because he knows what he's placed in you. Amen? And it might surprise us sometimes, but he knows what he's placed in you. Amen? You remember he did the same thing by Job. Satan said, oh yes, I seen Job down there. Said, well, he's not, God said, he's a perfect servant. There's none in the earth like him. There's nobody like Job. He's a perfect man. He's my pride and joy. Satan's going, yeah, you're babying him, you know. Just let me at him. Satan says, oh sure, he gets everything he asks for. We don't get everything we ask for, do we? We get everything that's good for us. Said, let me have him once. Said, I'll make him curse you to your very face. Said, I'll just make him curse you. God said, well, he's in your hands, but don't you take his life. So God sets the bounds. See, God had confidence in Job. Amen. Listen to this now. He says, when it looks like everything has gone wrong, God is giving you a trial. He's got confidence in you. He don't have to baby you around. You're not a hotbed plant, a hybrid. You're a real Christian. God is giving you a test. See what you'll do about it. Now, he knows what you'll do about it, but you don't. He's going to prove it to you. Amen. No wonder Peter said, these fiery trials, why count it a joy? It's more precious to you than gold. And many times we hum and we ha, and oh, well, it's just, well, that's something God give you to overcome. And he knows you'll do it. He's put his trust in you. How about let's put our trust in him? Amen. Amen. Well, let's just sing that chorus tonight as we invite our brother to come take his liberty tonight. We need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. You can stand again. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I lift my hands, I bow my knees, and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord, right now.
Amen. With all your heart. We need you, Lord. We need you. How many can say, I need you tonight, Lord?
We need you, Lord. Yes, we need you, Lord, right now.
Yes, Lord. Have your way tonight, Lord.
Oh, yes, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now.
So we lift our hands.
So we lift our hands and we bow our knees and worship at your throne. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now.
One more time. I need you, Lord. I need you. Amen.
Yes, I need you, Lord. Oh, I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
And so I live.
Always in need of him. Amen. God bless you. This evening it's good to be in service again. And we just want to thank Brother Doug for the opportunity to be here. And as he said, we're not only just fellow ministers, but we're friends, we're buddies. And God just knows how to put people together. And it's a privilege to be here with him and also Brother Donnie and Brother Daryl. And we've known each other for many, many years. And just count it an honor to be here with them this weekend. And just trust that God will speak to your hearts and minister to your needs. And he certainly knows what we have need of. Amen. And just thankful that God has given us a place to come together. And with great trials comes great blessings. And those blessings may not be seen at the present, but they will manifest themselves in time. And you know, you never feel sorry for the devil. But it looks like he would learn our nature is more like a seed. And he tries to bury us with circumstance, trouble, all these things. He's not burying us. We're just getting planted deeper. And we're going to grow right through whatever he puts over us. Amen. So hardships and trials, they build our character. But in times like this, they also reveal character. Amen. You really see what is actually in a people. And as Brother Doug said, you get so many things from all over the world. It just lets you know that, we might be one thing in the backyard, but there's another thing we do when we come to the front yard. We're going to take up for one another. And I've come to learn. I don't know a lot, but I've come to learn something over the years. There's many things that we may disagree on or see different, that none of those things are salvational issues. The trouble comes is when we make them salvational issues, and somewhere along the line we'll have to lay those issues aside, because we're all going out of here at the same time, preferably going to the same place at the same time. And I doubt very seriously on the other side there's going to be sections for this one, sections for this one, sections for the... Amen. Praise the Lord anyhow. You love the Lord? Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 3. I told Brother Darrell last night, I said, I'll email you my notes. I'm going home. And I'll just leave it with you. But I was so blessed by the word of God. And we're just here to put our shoulders to the wheels and just be a vessel that God can speak through for a few moments of time. Genesis chapter 3. I'd like to read verses 8 through 10. Also, before we read, I know that there's many from different places, but we have some from our home church here with us tonight. And they drove all the way out here, and nobody knows probably where Hardy, Arkansas is. But they drove all the way from there, actually a little further than that. But certainly appreciate them making the effort and them being here tonight. And so God bless you. I haven't got to see them much, but that's just what happens when you're in a meeting. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. May we pray together. Father, Lord, as we bow our hearts before you this evening, Lord, we know that when there's a gathering like this, and Lord, not only present, but I understand streaming is going on. There's so many needs among us. And Lord, I have read a portion of your word, and I'll just use and borrow the prophet of God's words for a moment. Lord, we have read this text, but we just pray that you would grant us the context of it. Lord, that no matter what is on these pages, Lord, may we be sensitive tonight to the Spirit of God. Lord, that you could just borrow this vessel, Lord, for a little while as a temporary resurrection to speak words of life. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you tonight, both speaker and hearer. Lord, as the word would go forth, may it bring healing and deliverance to those that have need. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you now. We ask these things in thy precious name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I would like to take this evening, and we're just going to kind of, with the help of the Lord, just look at a few things, and maybe we can just put this in a little drama like of everyday life. But I would like to speak to you on the program of God. And when you look at these things that we understand would be things of the program, we would see some things that the prophet of God would take it maybe in different angles. And I just want to take it for a certain direction for tonight and just lay a little foundation here for a few moments from a few things that Brother Branham says. And this first one is a prayer, and it's in the changing from 1962 to 1963 in the message, the contest. And he's putting this out as something that is a desire in his heart, and I thought it was very fitting for the direction when I read it. And so I would like to share this with you. He says, "Make us fit servants, forgive our past, bless our future. Guide us, O Lord, with thy mighty hand, Jehovah. Bless these ministers here. Bless all the laity, all the visitors. Be thou with us, Lord. We are your servants, and we give ourselves wholly to you." For he says 1963, I believe we could say 2018. He said that the power of your spirit might have more preeminence in our life and in our being. Help us, God. Forgive us and help us, we pray. Raise up mighty men. He said, raise up mighty warriors of the faith. He said, open this year, Lord, that hidden manna, that rock beneath the rock, that we might see the program of God. Cap off the pyramids of our life, Lord. Put the capstone, Christ Jesus, upon every one of us. May his great, magnificent, holy blessings be upon us all. May the fire of the Holy Ghost come upon us, and may the power of the resurrection be manifested. God, how we thank you tonight. We are yours. We give ourselves fully to you, Lord. And so you could see that, Brother Brown, taking this from the transition of 62 into 63 and understanding what was fixing to take place in the next few months. And here is something that is almost prophetic. He's looking at, open up the hidden manna to us and cap off the pyramids of our life. And he's looking at these things that are coming, and most people didn't understand what was coming. Maybe he didn't either in its fullness, but yet it was a desire that we could see the program of God. And in this program, he's asking God to raise up mighty men. He's asking God to raise up mighty warriors of the faith. Now, that's not only for preachers, but that's all for every individual, because we are warriors of this faith. And when it's said in the scripture that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, that doesn't just mean ministry. That's for every one of us. Right? But it also does deal with those that preach the gospel, because Brother Bram tells us this, and a trumpet gives an uncertain sound. He said, the church's business is to preach the gospel. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. See, but anything different from that gets shaky, because it's out of the program of God. So you can see the program of God. It's the church's business to preach the gospel. You can't break that program. If it gets outside of that program, it gets shaky. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved. He said we ought to be from house to house, from place to place, preaching and crying and begging and persuading, trying to get every soul in the kingdom of God we can, sending missionaries east, west, north, and south, and everything we can do to get the people saved. We find so much of its decisions. You hear that all the time, making decisions. Decisions are confessions. Confessions are stones. What good does it do to pile up a bunch of stones if you haven't got a stone cutter, he said, who can shape them in by the two-edged sword of God into sons and daughters of God? He said, let them run around here with all kinds of women dressed like a skinned-down wiener and call themselves Christians, and men letting them do it, call themselves servants of Christ. He said, the church in a lukewarm formal condition that it's in, a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. He said, calling it decisions, we need stones cut into sons and daughters of God. Bye. He says, God, does it, good does it do to roll up the stones if you're not going to have them cut?
Amen. He said they've got to be cut and fit into the program of God by gifts and callings, that's plural, gifts and callings, and placed into the church as they should be or must be. So what does it good to just pile up rocks? It's not going to have anything of stability. But if something is cut and shaped and made to fit, it is going to go together. Now, I've laid tons of stone in my life. And I've watched that how each stone by something that is natural stone taken out of the earth and gone through a process to cut it. And it looks when you lay it out upon the earth and begin to look at it, you begin to see a pattern to develops, and one piece would go here, one piece would go here, almost like putting a puzzle together. But I noticed also at times there was things that I had to do that the company that done this in the beginning, that didn't get it just exactly right, and therefore I'd have to cut it, I'd have to split it, I'd have to chip on it, I'd have to do some things to make that fit within that wall. And that's exactly what Brother Branham is using. We need stone cutters to be able to cut us and shape us. It's gifts and callings that has come into this body to cut us and to shape us, to fit us within the body where we must be. Amen. He says he knowed who would come in, but he's in his provided way. All that heard Noah standing in that door and preaching judgment, sometimes it sounds radical, it always has, to the unbelieving heart. He said, but unbelief doesn't stop God. He said, unbelief only stops the unbeliever. Hallelujah. He says, you can't stop the sun from shining with unbelief. Try it. Go out there tomorrow morning and praise the Lord. The sun's going to rise. Hopefully it's going to shine through some clouds. This is Arkansas and Tennessee weather, not Arizona weather. But go out there and say, I'm an unbeliever. I don't believe in the sun. I don't believe it'll rise. And you'll be standing there beating your head against the wall because there's nothing you can do to stop it. Why? Because God had already set it in motion when he created the sun, created the earth. He set it in a motion. He set it in a way that there's nothing going to stop it. So I don't care how much unbelief people have, it's not going to stop the program of God. He said, John the Baptist said, God's able of these stones to rise children to Abraham. See, God's word is spoken. It's got to come to pass. He says, see, somebody's going to hear it. Somebody's going to get the benefit of it. And we're all free moral agents can take our choice. So here we see that God is able of these stones to rise up children to Abraham. Peter calls us lively stones. And what we are those stones that are being cut and shaped now in this part of the wall, this part of the building, I should say, because we're not just running a straight wall. This is a building that God is finishing up. This is for the completion of the body. This is something that God has set in the church. And if God set the sun in orbit and God set ministries in the body, you can't stop it no more than you can stop the sun. Just go ahead and beat your head on your tape recorder because it ain't going to stop. Hello? So if preaching is God's program, there must be a foundation for it, right? Amen. It's to preach the gospel. And if God chose by the foolishness of preaching that men might be saved, then there he had to have a foundation for Paul or the apostles to start this. So God himself was the first preacher. Now, I'm not here to preach about preachers, so just hang on for a minute, all right? But my point is to show you that God's word is never going to be stopped. All right? So God was the first preacher. God preached to his creation. Right? His creation sometimes does a little bit better than we do. They obeyed him. Right? Without struggle. The sun, you know, those stars, when he began to write the Bible in the zodiac, and he let one fall a few hundred million years and said, stop, it stopped. Right? So it obeyed him. So God preached. He gave them a word to follow. So God was giving the word. Preaching is to proclaim with a voice. And God is, his word is spoken. It couldn't just lay in his mind as a thought. It had to become word. And when it becomes word, from thought to word, it becomes material if it's God's word. Amen. And Adam done the same thing. He kept the Father's word before his wife and creation. And then what happens is Satan gets in the middle of it and he begins to quote God's word. Remember, God was the first preacher and Satan was the first preacher that was called, not called of God. That wasn't set in the church. He jumped in it. He invaded it. He wasn't set there because he wasn't cut and shaped to fit. So God kept his word before his creation. God gave it to Adam to obey. And he set this commandments and the commissions out there to Adam to obey. And as long as Adam would have eaten from the tree of life, his youth would have continued on. But we know sin entered the picture. And man wasn't living by the word. And so here we see that Satan becomes the first preacher that's not called of God, that just tries to invade the body. And he perverted God's program. Oh, I know, we don't need preachers now. That's right, I forgot. I'm sorry, you forgive my ignorance. Listen to this and hear ye him, 1958. He said, but the Father has to hear that from the tutor, the Holy Spirit. Oh, they wouldn't listen to me. They listened to that man that said the days of miracles is past. They listened to that man that said, oh, you just join the church, it'll be all right. We're a great denomination that's lived for years, and the Holy Spirit, he says, is trying to get his message to you all the time. And he says, I don't have to listen. This is what he's telling the tutor now. I don't have to listen to them little nitwit preachers. I'll do what I want to. He said, go right ahead. That shows what's in you. Hallelujah. We may be a bunch of nitwits, but we've been called of God. And it's God's program, and it's not God's program for us, it's God's program for you, because God is completing the body. They're set in the body for the perfecting or the completion of the saints. So as I said, we're not just building a wall, we're building a building. And what happens is, Brother Bevan said, the trouble comes when corners have to be turned. And ours is something that maybe is a little bit different than any other age or any other side. When this one made the corner turn, it began to run. And it wasn't running just a straight line. It had to be in line with the original corner. And then it has to tie right into the original corner, which is the original faith. This is the body that God is completing. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1. Now let's go here for a moment. Very familiar to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So remember, there was nothing, but something come from nothing. God that covered all time, space, and eternity, he began to speak, and from that word, he began to speak, and things began to come into existence. Now, we're not sure how long it actually took for the heavens and earth to come into existence. Brother Bevan said it could have took hundreds of trillions of years, but it come. And he said, it only says in Genesis 1, he says, the first chapter, he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Period. How long he was doing it, I don't know. He didn't tell us. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Period. He said, and the world was without form. So he goes to verse 2. The world was without form and void. Darkness is upon the face of the deep. And if you understand this, these two first verses are actually you when you're born into this earth. Amen. And he goes on to say, let there be light. Drives the darkness away. But it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. He said that's when God started to use it. So maybe it took trillions of years to come. Then in verse 2, God begins to use it. He says, see, they just beat their brains out for nothing. See, God made the world. He might have been 100 trillion years making it. I don't know how long he was, but he made it. And he didn't say how long he was, and it's none of our business how long it was. He just said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Period. That settles it. But he said, that's all of it. How long he was doing it. He said, that's not. But then the creation began to spring up in the other time when he began to use it. So beginning from that time, God began to count days, and he began to say the first day, the evening and the morning were the first day. And so for 6,000 years, God began to develop this earth that he created. He began to line the heavens to work with the earth that God had created. And just to drop this in, this earth that you're sitting on tonight, God made it, just not so it could spin around in an orbit. He made it to take your body out of it. He had you in mind when he created this earth. Science is trying to figure out, is there life on Mars? Is there life on Venus? Hey, listen, I don't care if there is. I don't care if there ain't. But I hope if there is life out there, they've got the same opportunity at a gospel. They've got a word that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and Mars. But I know there's an earth. And it was made to take us out of. So he begins to use it in verse 2. And this is when he began to use it. It was without form and void, and water was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the water. So in 6 days, or the next 6,000 years, God brought the earth to an Eden beauty. Brother Darrell was talking last night about the conditions of this earth and the conditions of this world, the way that it is, and it's how darkness and gross darkness has covered it, and the people that is on it. And it's amazing to me, if you study the time pattern that God set upon his creation, or the using of the creation to develop it. Brother Ram said it began to when the heavens and earth was created, he begins to use it. There was seeds developed in the earth all by the word of God. And then when he said, let there be light, and let every seed bring forth of its own kind, things began to develop on the earth. And it took 6,000 years to bring it to its Eden beauty. And if you study the time, it took less than 1,700 years to bring it to Genesis chapter 6, to where the imaginations of men's heart was on evil continually. And God was ready to destroy the earth and all those that lived on it. So things can happen very quickly in time. So when you see that God brings creation, watching creation come into existence, God brings creation from spirit to the physical, because he creates man in his own image, and in his image he creates him male and female. Now God creates the animal life, the botany life. He puts all of the botany life come by seed, but yet the animals, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, everything's in a spirit creation. But then God moves over in a little bit further in time on the sixth day, and he begins to bring man from the dust of the earth. Brother said, I could see his toes down in the ground like roots in a tree, of a tree going down into the ground. But then the breath of life comes in him as God breathed in his nostrils a breath of life. He said, I begin to see Adam just jump. And he said, then he began to move on. So God brings bodies from the dust. He brings it from spirit, comes over, then begins to bring their bodies from the earth. As I said, Adam's body as well. Then in Genesis 2:18 said, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle. He said, to all the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. So Adam named every one of them by their characteristics, by watching them and observing them. And it's when the male and female serpent walked before Adam, as it began to come up in the way that it grew up and evolved, it come to Adam to name the serpent. He watched him and watched her stand there together. And he looked at their character, watched their ways that they'd done. And he said, I'm going to call you serpent. And I want you to notice something here, but yet I want you to also be able to understand that you can see your predestination, your election, the foreknowledge from this, because God just lays this pattern right out in His Word. And if you can't see it, I pray God just opened your eyes. But here's what I want to point out to you. Remember, God brings the animal life from the dust of the earth, and He brings man from the dust of the earth. But when the bodies of the animals and all that creation come up, they were male, female, separate, coming from the dirt. But yet when God made man, there was no helpmeet for him. So the only female that didn't come up separate from its mate was the woman. She wasn't just dust. She was Adam's dust. She wasn't just earth. She was Adam's earth. There was no other creature on the earth. They come up two by two, male and female. But when God brought Adam, he was still dual in his nature, but singular in his body. And then God has to take from his body his earth to make his wife. Amen. And that's the reason we're not just a church. There's churches, brides, all kinds. There's a deceived church by the world. There's foolish virgins, but there is an elect of God. And we are His church because He said we were. Upon this revelation that you have of me, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So this is His church that He's building. And I can't help the way that He said He's programmed. That's designed to cut and shape the stones that's going in it. So why argue with God's program? Man's been trying to do that for how many thousand, 6,000 years now, and they ain't fixed it yet. Amen. Well, just remember God now. Once creation was on the earth and in physical form, God would begin to come down in the cool of the day, and He would fellowship with Adam, and He would come down and speak with Adam and his wife, and he would gather them together in the cool of the day. And how would God speak to Adam? He would speak, and His word was going to Adam. It wasn't other commandments. It was fellowship. And He spoke to him by lip to ear. So it's God's program to speak lip to ear. Hallelujah. Live words, not just recorded words. Hello. You wonder if God controlled the elements and the dimensions, because Brother Bram said television was here when Adam was here. They just hadn't tapped into it at that time in the Garden of Eden. Maybe in the days of Noah, it was already developed. But by the time when Adam was in the garden, that dimension was still there. But yet when you couldn't tell me that God couldn't open it up and stream to Adam. I'm not against streaming. Don't take that personal or wrong. But God would come down and speak lip to ear with his son. Amen. Listen to this. He said, I believe that that's the way we should do always. Weigh things with the word. Because the word is the only thing that will be able to remain. Jesus said, both heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He said, that's why I believe it, and I believe it to be God's program. I believe that. That is the finished work of God wrote out in the word. Therefore, if anything would be contrary to that word, it could not be God or God's plan. I believe it's the program. Spirit of God in the Word makes the Word live itself, act itself out. It brings the Word to life like a seed. The first man and first woman in the Garden of Eden was in perfect harmony with God. He said, in the garden was perfect harmony with God, so much that God could come down at any time he desired, talk lip to ear with Adam and Eve. Now that is perfect oneness. God and his creation, God speaking lip to ear with Adam and Eve, they were so perfect in harmony with God till they were one with God. God was, and his family was one. So if speaking lip to ear is God's program and that is perfect oneness, what kind of oneness would it be, or what kind of system would it be if it's not lip to ear? You would break the oneness of God. I told you, Brother Darrell, you should have preached. Now, it took God 6,000 years. It didn't take him that long, but he took that long. I love that. It didn't take God that long, but he took that long. He said that one day in heaven's 1,000 years on earth, 6,000 years or 6 days, God built the earth. Took God 6,000 years to establish it, plant it with good seeds, bring forth everything after its kind, because everything must come forth after its kind. So if something's producing that is not of its original kind, it's a hybrid, it's out of the program of God. Right? He said all of his seeds were good, so it must bring forth after its kind. God took 6,000 years. Finally, when he got it all made, we finally arrived with its headquarters on earth in a beautiful spot laying east of Eden. He said, called the Garden of Eden. God, the Word, world's headquarters, or made the world's headquarters in the Garden of Eden in Egypt, right at the east end of the garden was the headquarters. So you would see why right at the east end of it, at that eastern gate, it's where they would come back to worship once they was on the outside. He said, and over the whole situation, he said he put his son and his son's wife over it all. He said, that's right, that's what God did. He put them in full control. They could speak to the winds, it would cease to blow. They would speak to the tree, it would move from here to there. The lion and the wolf fed together. The lamb laid down with them. There was no evil. It was perfect peace, perfect harmony, everything in perfection. And when God had it under his control, notice he had his world. He had all in operation, everything coming, everything eating vegetations, nothing to die, nothing to be ruined, nothing to be spoiled. It was just perfect. My, what a place. And God was so happy. When he got it finished, he went to rest. Brother Bram says God was so satisfied, he rested from all of his works on the seventh day. He looked it all over. He had been 6,000 years in molding it. He said, fixing it out, making it come into existence, put the mountains up, make the volcanics, push the mountains up. Things taking place in eruptions, dried it off, fixed it the way he had it. And oh, it was a beautiful place. Nothing, he said, nothing like it. The great paradises of God, great dinosaurs, whatever more crawling through it, great animals, no harm in them, just as gentle as a kitten. No sickness, no sorrow. No disease germ on the earth. Oh, what a place. What a place. The great birds swinging from tree to tree. Adam could call them by name. They would fly up on his shoulders and coo to him. He said, oh, what a wonderful place God had. And he made one of his attributes from his own body. God has attributes in his body. That's from Satan's Eden. So let's take a little trip now, our minds, and let's go back into the Garden of Eden, to the headquarters of Eden. Now remember, Eden itself was like a country or a state. And the garden is where, on the east side, is where God had set up his headquarters. So I want us to look at this, because man had been placed in this place that God had made. He had been placed there to till the soil, to work the garden. God had not allowed death. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no germ. Everything was in perfect harmony. And God would come down every day to check on his son and his daughter. And if you read the Bible like a newspaper or an article, you'll miss the everyday life of Adam. Because he lived his life to 930 years. The majority of that was outside the garden. But yet he did have some time in the garden. And it was in there that he was eternal. He was as eternal as God is eternal. He had the very mind of God. He knew exactly what God wanted done with his word on the earth. Are you catching the pattern? He knew exactly how God wanted it designed and how he wanted it laid out. He knew exactly where to go every day to make God's word become material. That what God had in his mind, he could manifest it on the earth. And in between God's mind and manifestation was son and daughter. And that God used his son and daughter to bring these things in its rightful places. That's God's program. So you'll forget Adam actually had life, and life was being lived. Remember, there was mornings and there was evenings. There was sunrises and sunsets. Every evening, Adam and his wife went to church. All creation gathered at the great cathedral. God would come down and speak with Adam, as I said, lip to ear. And he would come down and he would say, Adam, how was your day today? I could hear Adam. Maybe it's a Thursday evening. The cool of the day, Adam has come to the great cathedral. All creation is gathered, and we'll get to this in a moment. But God would come down in the cool of that day, and he'd say, Adam, how was your day today? Oh, Father, I was over on the southeast side today. You know where that big creek bottom is over there, and those streams come down out of them hollers and things, and there were some groves of white oaks and groves of pines and groves of red oaks, and it was all kinds of, there were some persimmon trees over here, and he said, it took me a while, Papa, but I got them all arranged out. I put them white oaks along those fingertips ridges, and kind of down in the hollers, I placed a few poplars and some pines, and I put those persimmons right down here along this field edge down there. He said, I'd seen some deer hanging out on that ridge. Sorry, I'm a hunter. And I know that they would be able to, I put a thicket right up on top. Maybe they could bed down there when they got a desire to get out of the sun or just to take a little nap or something. And I put everything right there to their liking, where they get out of bed and they walk down them ridges, feed on them big old white oak acorns, go right down to the creek, get some water, go eat a little dessert under the persimmon tree, and go right back on to the great cathedral to worship you. Well, what do y'all think happened in the garden? I'd like to hear your explanation of it. What'd Adam do? Just, no, that's what we want. Microwave age. He said, Papa, it took me till you arrived to get that done. He said, even my wife walked up and said, Adam, what are you doing? That wind. He said, hold on, Eve. I'm moving earth. That wind is moving earth. You see, I took some trees out over here and trees out over here, and I put them along these ridges right here for this time, and I gotta fill in those spots. So I'm just moving earth. So just hold on. I've called the south wind up to just kind of just route them hollers just right, that the water that comes out of the earth could flow right down there and keep this stream going. So just hold on, Eve. Just that wind will stop in just a moment. How do you know, Adam? peace. Oh, Adam. That's beautiful. Papa, it took me a while, but now it's time to go to church. And it would be done to where God would come down and speak with Adam lip to ear. And Adam always had the desire to try to get everything done before church time. Hallelujah. How do you know it was church time? Well, I could imagine Leo let out a roar. And everything got real quiet and lifted his head up. And Leo let out another roar. And they all looked at each other, male and female, their offsprings, said, church time. Leo just called us. And you can imagine creation moving along through the garden, coming towards that great open air cathedral. You can imagine the lions began to roar just a little bit more. The tigers began to roar. The trumpets of the elephants began to sound. You can imagine the birds swinging from tree to tree and beginning to make their music. Everything that had breath was praising God. God was calling a worship service. God wasn't calling just church. He was calling a time of worship. This was a time for perfect oneness. This was a time where God could commune with man and his wife. That God could be personal with him. And people in this message want to replace that with a tape. They want to replace it with a video. Shame on you. Ain't no wonder you're cold and indifferent, cancel church all the time. I can imagine the prides of lions moving, the tigers, the elephants, the dinosaurs, the giraffes, cats, dogs, all the things moving, birds moving up to that great cathedral. You imagine the atmosphere that was being created by creation. Oh my. Hey, this was everyday life for Adam. It wasn't just on Sunday or Wednesday. This was every day. Amen. Adam worked and moved through the garden, done the very things that God wanted him and desired him to do on this earth. And as Adam would do that, it would come to the cool of the day and he would hear Leo begin to roar and he would grab a hold of his wife and all of creation would move and they would go right back to that great open air cathedral again. Every man was born to have fellowship. Man, in the beginning, back in the Garden of Eden, he had wonderful fellowship. God come down in fellowship with his company of men and women. Every evening in the cool of the evening, God would come down under the great big palm trees. Perhaps his sacred light as it was shining down on Adam and Eve in that great cathedral in the open. Fellowship with God had nothing to worry about as long as they was fellowshipping. He said, I love fellowship with men. I like to go out and talk with people who loves the Lord. Have fellowship with them because we see the same thing. Our motives are the same. Our ideals are the same. I like to talk to people. I got a friend, as he says, sitting right down here that likes to hunt and fish. Many times we have a lot of fellowship together just sitting around talking on those things because we like those things. But the greatest fellowship that any man ever had was when he had fellowship with God, when God had gave himself open to man to fellowship back and forth with his creator, creation, the God, the creator and his creatures. The greatest fellowship. Amen. Fellowship through reconciliation of the blood. He said, in the beginning when God made man in his own image, he put him in the Garden of Eden, had perfect fellowship in the late afternoon. When the evening time, when the twilights was falling, I can see the great Jehovah come across the top of the palm trees and the roaring of the thunder. Hallelujah. Even God was making some noise. Well, this is the quietest place you'll ever be. Amen. He said, and the roaring of the thunder. When Adam and Eve gathered out there in that great open air cathedral and worshiped God and had fellowship and talked with Him, the lion and tigers all coming around in perfect harmony. Wouldn't that be a wonderful place to live? Abiding place where there's no sickness, no sorrow, no way of ever being upset. And look, this is the evening time. Watch what Isaiah says. Watch what the prophets pointed to. In the evening time, there shall be light. He's letting us know that reconciliation has been made and there's a people on the earth with the same oneness. We may not be in that open air cathedral just yet, but we're on our way back to an Eden. And even a better Eden than what Adam had. Because in this Eden we're going to, there's no tree of knowledge of good and evil going to be present. Well, that ought to made a Baptisterian shout. That's one that don't know they're Baptist or Presbyterian. You ought to said amen and hallelujah at the same time. Everything in perfect harmony. God in harmony with His creature and the creature in harmony with His maker. What a perfect time. A complete fellowship. That's the way that God intended it. Amen. Listen to this and what the Holy Ghost was given for. He said that's the way God did. Followed His own laws. He said God cannot follow or give one law to follow and Him follow another. He follows His own laws. Then God, in order to redeem the lost church, the lost world, the lost creation, God is infinite in spirit to redeem the lost human race. God Himself become kinfolks. A man, a son that He created in the womb of Mary and then made an ensign or a testimony outside the gates of Jerusalem. He was lifted up between the heavens and the earth and died and redeemed everything. And in bleeding, He sanctified a church that He Himself might live in. Oh my, and have fellowship and commune with that lost spot from the Garden of Eden, that come where God come down in the cool of the evening, church time, He says. Did you notice God came down in the cool of the day at the setting of the sun? So see, I wasn't far off when I said they was having church. Brother Ram said he come down at church time. And them sweethearts, as they walked in the garden of Eden together, I hear Eve say, oh, that wind is terrible. I hear Him say, peace be still. And the wind stops. I can hear Him say, sweetheart. She laid her little head over on His shoulder. As it didn't have to have any max factor to make her look pretty. She was to be that way forever. Her arms around Adam's great arm as they walked as sweethearts through the garden. After a while, Leo the lion gave a roar. There was no fear. He said, come here, Leo. And he rubbed him on the back. Sheeta the tiger come up and rubbed her, and they followed along behind them like kittens. And as the sun began to set on the sixth day, he says, rather, as the sun began to set, Adam says, sweetheart, we must go to church tonight. We must go up to the cathedral. And as they went to the great trees and knelt down on that salt, he said, God, come down through the trees. Hear His tender voice of the Father saying, children, have you enjoyed your day on earth today? Your day. Every day. And He kisses them on the cheek, He said, as it was. Lays them down to sleep. The lion, He laid him down. Sheeta the tiger laid them in no harm, no danger. He said, Adam says to Eve, sweetheart, hear you him. Let's go up to church. It's time to
to worship the Father. God's program. You mean Adam just couldn't find him a nice white oak and just lean up against it? Pick him some berries. Pick him a cucumber. And say, I'm just going to observe from here. No, Adam had to get up and go to church. It's God's program. Anything outside that gets shaky. Now listen, we ought to be mature enough, and I hope to, and pray to God we are, that we understand sickness, we understand your vacations, however many of them you want to take. We understand those things, but I'm talking about people just lay out. Because when sin entered the picture, everyday life of Adam suddenly changed. And you find, as our scripture reading was, that Adam had hid himself among the trees of the garden. That's the first time that God had come down to the cathedral and Adam wasn't there. It's the first time that Adam laid out a church. All creation, everything was moving toward the cathedral except for Adam. Adam was hiding himself amongst the trees of the garden. So sin enters this picture. Satan, through the serpent, misinterpreted the word to the woman. Right? We know that Adam steps out willingly to redeem Eve. I love studying this because you see so many ways that Brother Branham actually takes this. He said that Eve sinned. She ought to have been burnt. He says that Adam sinned. It wasn't Eve that sinned. She was deceived. It was Adam that sinned because he stepped out willfully. And he takes this in so many different ways. But the point is that man fell from his rightful position. And sin entered the everyday life of Adam. Amen. You come in this world, you're born in sin. You didn't even come with a fighting chance. He said, you were born in sin, shaped iniquity, come in the world speaking lies with your own spirit, the desire of sin, a lover of sin, because you were born in sin. You didn't have a chance. But down inside of you, somewhere, here come, there was something in there that began to draw. If you know, it was something that told you there was a God somewhere. And you read his word, then you took the church. You took their ideas when you was told better. And you never used the thinking man's filter, but when you use God's filter, which is a thinking man's filter, because all other filters will pass away, but mine shall not. And when you take God's filter, you draw your life, your desires. If you draw your desires through God's filter, a thinking man's filter, there's nothing left but the Holy Ghost. Now, if you want the evidence of the Holy Ghost, there it is. When that soul of yours is in line with the Word of God, in every respect, it shows you've drawn your life through the thinking man's filter, God's filter. Notice it's that God's filter. He said we was washed by the water of the word. And when God gave Adam and Eve a filter in the Garden of Eden, he said, don't you draw none of this in there. But Satan punched a hole in it. And said, oh, it's a little bit, won't hurt, just one drop. That's it all took to set death into the human race. That's all it takes. One taste of nicotine. Then they're gone. There's nothing left. He says, but the Holy Ghost. And then that shows that in you was that predestinated seed down in you that makes you hunger for God. So where'd that seed come from? God. When was it put in you? Not when you heard the word. Hey, listen, friend. The seed that a sower sows might be the word. It's the ground in that parable that makes the difference. So when you want to go typing yourself out as that's how you receive the word, let's just check your ground. Because that'll prove what actually was really in you to start with. Hallelujah. There ain't nobody behind me, are there? He said, all the Father hath given me. Given me to redeem. They died with me at Calvary. They raised with me in the resurrection. And all that has given me will come to me. They'll be placed in the body where foot, arm, nose, mouth, whatever it is, they'll be placed in there and they will come to me in their seasons. Oh my. There is where that real filtration of all the sin of the world, the love of the world is dead. And the soul is drawing only on one thing. Here it is. He says, remember, don't forget it. All of you out there in the telephones, set this down in your mind. When a thinking man begins to think who he's going to stand before and what the word of God is, when he begins to think, then he draws through that. There's nothing can get to it but the Holy Ghost. What is it? It's the germ, seed word from the beginning. That you was in God at the beginning. Amen. Standing there drawing the seed life. You wonder why God preached the word? His word is life. It is light. And it is going to draw the same life of that seed. That seed produces its own kind, which is a God race. The seed is already in there by the foreknowledge of God, predestinated. And when it draws, it can't draw through nothing else but the word. Amen. Now you're going to have to take that message out of thinking man's filter and I'd see why people would do that. Because they ain't thinking people. Don't worry, you'll see how that fits in a moment. Now look at this, Genesis 3:7. And the eyes of them both were open. Here's the woman has been deceived. She's taken the seed of the serpent. Adam has taken her, quickly placed his seed in her. And now they stand in a place hiding themselves from the voice of the Lord God that's walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So you can see this is church time and their eyes are open and they make fig leaves and they sew them together and cover themselves. And they hear the voice of the Lord God walking through the garden in the cool of the day. So Adam hides himself from the presence of the Lord God. And God says, Adam! He's walking. Adam. Adam. He knew where he was at. He wasn't caught off guard. He knew where he was at. But he was just giving man a space to repent. He's giving a man a chance to come out. And he says, Adam! It's church time, Adam! Everybody's in church, Adam, but you. Where are you, Adam? I was afraid. He's mortal now. He's mortal now. This is the first tears ever shed. Here's the first fear that's ever felt by a mortal man. No doubt. Adam didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to react. He had never felt that before. So as I said, it's the first time Adam lays out of church. But it's also the first time that he hides from God. It's the first time that fear is known unto man. And the voice of the Lord God walking, it just denotes that it's moving, it's carrying, as a breeze would come by you, or not literally that a voice can walk, but it's moving through the garden, echoing as a tree, as the winds would blow through the trees as it comes by. You can't see wind. You don't know where it goes, where it comes from, but you know, you can see the effect of it. And Adam could not maybe see God from where he was at, but he could feel the effect of the word. He could hear the voice of God calling out to him. One of the commentaries, I think this is John Gill or Adam Clark. My copy and paste didn't work real good. And he says it's very likely that God used to converse with them in the garden. And that the usual time was at the decline of the day in the evening breeze. And probably there was a time that our first parents employed the more solemn acts of their religious worship at which God was ever present. So it was here that Adam would come worship. And God always showed up. Hallelujah. He said, but this time, God is in his place. Animals, he said, the solemn worship is again come. God is in his place, but Adam and Eve had sinned. And instead of being found in the place of worship, they're hiding amongst the trees. And he says, reader, how often has this been thy case? And here's man standing before God. And I want you to watch now. His everyday life just took a very bad turn. Satan is rejoicing. He's descended back to the gates of hell. And he's high-fiving his demons. He's fist-bumping everybody. Boys, it's ours now. We just took everything that God made and took over. It's ours. And one of them wasn't quite paying attention. You know, he was kind of one of those that was listening over here and listening over here and listening over here. And he's hearing something going on up there on earth. And he says, excuse me, Mr. Lucifer, Satan, devil, sir, whoever you are, I think you might want to go listen to what's going on up there. And you see Satan slip back up outside the garden wall. And he's hiding in some bushes. And Adam and his wife have come out in their fig leaves. And God is looking at them. And he begins to say to Adam, Adam, what is this that thou hast done? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Papa, she give it to me. Sin always blames somebody else. Papa, she give it to me, and I did eat. I knew what I was doing. I stepped out. I knew what I was doing. I loved her so much, but she's the one that brought it to me, and I done it. And he looks at her. What is this that you've done? She said, Papa, the serpent, he beguiled me. I was deceived. Papa, I didn't mean to do it. And he turns and he looks at the serpent. And he says, because thou hast done this. He didn't ask him a question. He didn't have a soul, and so it didn't get a choice. Hello? So he didn't ask him a question because he wasn't a free moral agent. He was a beast. And he was fixing to get a body change. But not to his good. Satan's standing in the bushes. And he's listening. And Adam has said his part. And Eve has said her part. The serpent didn't say a word. Adam, cursed is the ground for your sake. From now on, you're going to sweat. You're going to work. By the sweat of your brow, your hands are going to hurt. Your back is going to ache. There's some things going to happen in your everyday life that you're not going to like. And I'm going to curse the ground for your sake. He didn't curse Adam. Thank God. But he cursed the ground for Adam's sake. And he looks at the woman and he says, I'm going to take care of you in your childbirth. You're going to have pain, labor pains, and travail is going to come upon you. You're going to struggle. You're not going to have that same life that you had in the garden. You're going to be having pains.
You're not going to, you don't even know what's coming your way. And God says, don't go nowhere. I'll be right back. I don't know how you read this story. If you read it just 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and you check it off like a checklist. This was time. I realized there was an eternal atmosphere, but God was still recording time. He recorded it in 1,000-year allotments. All right? And Adam had started his next 1,000 years when he became from the dust of the earth and moving out with a breath of life, he became a living soul. God had set forth another 1,000 years. All right? And God goes over on a hillside. Brother Brown said he went out and got some skins. He must have killed some sheep, an innocent substitute, thrown it in there, and they wrapped those sheepskins around them, and here they came out to face God. I can see them standing there, Adam, great big manly shoulders, blood off them sheepskins running down his legs. Eve standing there in her beautiful form, and all this blood running over now. Adam crying, Eve crying, mixing with tears as it run down their bosoms like that, ever leaning over on his shoulder, and God, depart out of my presence. He couldn't stand it. You imagine what Adam felt, but imagine what God felt. Everything changed. Everything changed. Adam's mortal. He's crying now. His children went to walk away. He said, let's take a little drama for a minute. I can hear something going like this. What is it? It's the old bloody sheepskins beating against Adam's big manly legs as he went walking out of the presence of God. And God couldn't stand it. And all that God was, come down to 4 letters. L-O-V-E. God so loved. He couldn't see his children go out in that kind of condition. Separating from him, he stopped and said, wait a minute. Watch this unfold. This is not a checklist of chapters and verses. This is everyday life. Time is unfolding. Man is setting in a condition that he's fallen now. He's mortal. He's crying tears. He never even knew he had tear ducts. But now there's an emotion that he's feeling that he had never felt before. And it moved God to say, stop. Wait a minute, Adam. Wait. Stay right there. He throws some bloody sheepskins in behind those bushes. And he looks at the woman. I love how Brother M takes this. He takes it and he says, he looked right at the woman. And he says, I will put enmity between your seed and the serpent's seed. And I can see, remember that dude that's standing over here behind the bushes? He's listening. What's he doing with them skins? What's it? Enmity. I can handle enmity. Between your seed and the serpent seed. I know the serpent seed. Who's her seed? Uh-oh. I think I might have just messed up. What's a woman's seed? Women don't have seeds. Who? It's got to be a who. Oh my. Woman's seed. You say Satan didn't know that. Well, I beg to differ. Because Brother Bram said from that time of that prophecy, he set out to destroy that seed. And when Adam died, he thought he had it. When Abel died, he thought he had him. When Cain had killed Abel, he said, that's it right there. Adam ain't gonna do it no more. And then it went right on down for Joseph and Moses, all of these. And when Jesus finally descended into the gates of hell and knocked on the door, Satan said, I thought I had you when I got Adam. I thought I had you when I got Job. But now you've arrived. He said, listen, I ain't here to stay.
Woman's seed. And here's Adam and his wife. Remember, Brother Adam said her head's laying over on his shoulder. Their tears are mingling with the blood. Adam had walked, and those skins are slapping till God stopped him. And Adam, when God says, I put enmity between your seed and the serpent's seed, I could hear Adam go, and I see Eve turn her head. What's wrong, Adam? Did you hear what Papa just said? Your seed. Your seed. Your seed, not my seed. Your seed. That means God is promising us. Papa is promising us a redeemer. That's what these skins mean. Adam, for a moment, no matter how clogged up his channels just got, he caught a little glimpse of light. And said, it's all right, honey. He promised us now. We can walk out of here. I don't know where we're going. But we can walk out of here with the promise of Almighty God, with the promise of our Father that He's bringing us back. Adam's tears begin to flow just that much more. Here he is, the first time a mortal has ever shed a tear, and it moved God so much that he goes all the way to the back of the book and he says, there's coming a time I'm going to wipe the tear out of everybody's eyes. I'm going to take it out of the righteous and I'm going to take it out of the elect. So when we go back to Eden, there's no more tears. It moved Papa that much. So listen, friend, right now your tears are never in vain. God was moved by your tears. He knows when you're interceding. He knows when you're calling out for a son or a daughter. God knows, and He's still moved. And he said, but them tears ain't gonna last but so long. I've already got a promise in the back of the book. I'm going to wipe them out of your eyes, Adam. I can see God move over. And I can see Adam start to move as God begins to turn his back. Adam, you must leave now. Papa, I'm sorry. Here's cherubims with flaming swords. God had just shut the gate. And Adam is now outside of everything that he ever knew. He's on the outside. He's mortal. He's crying. He's afraid. He's shaking. Where am I going to rest? And remember, the earth is still in its Eden beauty. It's still in its greatest strength. And Adam's looking. Where do I go? What do I do? Eve, where are we going? I don't know, Adam. Let's just walk this way. Not only when Adam had to leave, there was an exodus of all creation. So it may not quite happen as quick as that door shut that I shut it. So you understand what I'm saying. And Adam's walking down a trail. Let's just say that he's making a path. Walking along the edge of a field. And Leo steps out. And Adam says, hello, Leo. He feels different. And Leo just looks at him. And Leo looks different. He says, come on, Leo. Let's go lay down somewhere together. And Leo roars. And the hair, Adam's shaggy hair, stands up on the back of his neck. And he looked at Eve and he said, that ain't church time call. I'm sorry, Mr. Leo. I did not mean to bother you. And he backs on away. Adam is in his first day outside of a garden wall. He's dressed in lambskins. But Brother Bram says, let's run this forward about 4,000 years. There's another man walking down a street. And his garments, I can hear them. I can see the red spots that are separated become one big bloody spot. And I can see his tears mingling with his blood as he's headed to a place called Calvary. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. We'll pick this up tomorrow. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. An enmity is hatred. It is to be hostile, to be an enemy too. So just remember who's hearing these words. There's Satan hiding behind some bushes. There's Adam over here hiding in the trees, dressing himself in lambskins. And God is preaching. God is preaching his word. He kills some lambs and throws those skins in behind the bushes. And he proclaims his word. I'll put enmity. I'm going to put a hatred and a hostility between your seed and the serpent's seed. Albert Barnes said, enmity with the enemy of God indicated a return to friendship with God. So when God told Adam, and he told that serpent what he did, Adam caught a little glimpse of something. Remember, his channels, as Brother Darrell said last night, his channels got all clogged up when he became immortal. He couldn't remember the things that God had told him. It's just bits and pieces here and there, bits and pieces here and there. And he catches a little something by the preaching of the word. When God preached his word to him in present tense, Adam, he's promised us redemption. He's indicating that I will once again be his friend. Jesus takes those words. And he says, I call you friends. Because it's to the friends that's known what is being done. To the servants, to those others, they have no clue. But to friends, it's who he shares his heart with. So God was indicating a return to friendship, giving Adam a hope, a saying, this seed is my enemy. That serpent seed is my enemy. This enemy will be destroyed. This enemy will be destroyed, and you, Adam, will be restored back to your rightful position. Satan, still hiding in the bushes, thinking he had stopped the program of God, when actually what he really done was started. Let's stand together. Now, you know well enough, that devil didn't like getting a finger pointed in his face and being called an enemy, saying he was going to be destroyed. So what did he do? He set out to destroy that seed through the serpent seed that he had injected into the human race. And by this, he comes forward now 6,000 years and develops his Eden. And he becomes the God of this evil age. He's done all this so he could point his finger back at God and say, you thought there would be a hatred between that church and me? I've got my own church. And they love me. They even worship me, thinking they're worshiping you. So how about that, God? What he didn't realize is in the midst of Satan's Eden, he slips in under the garden wall. Satan always wondered, how do these people keep coming? I mean, it's a never-ending battle. Where do these people come from? It's because there's a seed inside of them. And you can't kill life. Amen. If our musicians, our brothers would come, let's bow our hearts together. I wonder, would there be an Adam whose life has changed? And you're outside the garden wall. Instead of in the presence of God, your heart's full of fear. Your mind's full of fear. You're trembling. You're asking the questions that Adam's asking. Where do I go from here? Would there be one here tonight that would just raise your hand up, be honest? Not with people here. They ought to have their heads bowed and their eyes closed. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you. God bless you. I want to say to you that raise your hand the same words that God spoke to Adam. He spoke to you. I've made a way for you to come back. It ain't going to be an easy way, but I have made a way. Father, Lord, our hearts, Lord, are moved by just your presence. Lord, we think back of just how great a presence it was under that great cathedral. Adam's everyday life, he had worked the garden. He had arranged it. He'd tell you about it under the great cathedral. kiss them on the head or the cheek. Lay them down. Leo's mane was his pillow. Adam's arm was his wife's pillow. Creation praising you. And all of a sudden, a peace would settle down over the cathedral. And it would cause all creation to rest. I can imagine the second day outside the garden wall, Adam standing at the east gate looking at those cherubims, desiring to be back in the presence of God. He's got a promise, but he's also got a little amnesia that set in, and he just don't know how to get back in there. Father, I thank you, it wasn't our problem. It wasn't that we could make a way. We couldn't. But you've made that way. You brought reconciliation through the blood, fellowship, redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, there was a few hands here tonight was raised. They could see themselves as Adam outside that garden wall, away from your presence. May your presence go to them now. Their honest hearts, they raise their hands in honesty and sincerity. May your presence whisper those words. I promised you a way back. Just start walking, Adam. Just start living life, Adam. I'll make my way known to you. So, Lord, I pray that you would accept those hearts tonight. And may they start their journey. That's my prayer in Jesus' name.
Just lift your hands.